Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, another bonus episode here, watching the Power Rangers original series with one of the members of the cast. Now, we're going all the way to season three for this one, because it is where the character that the actress we've got on board here today plays. She plays the character of Catherine in the show. We've got Natalie Barron.
Hi, how's everyone?
So yeah, obviously our version of season two is mixing in some season three elements, so that's why we had to go into this. Now, I've got to ask, have you ever seen the original show at all?
I have, yeah, a long time ago, but sort of, I guess, after school programming or Saturday morning programming, yeah.
But it's been a long time, I take it?
It has been, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember anything about the character that you play at all?
I don't, actually. Gosh, they were all sort of falling back into the distant fogs of the past in my...
Yeah. So obviously I remember that you auditioned for a narrator role originally. Now obviously you didn't get that, but then when the character of Catherine came up, I was like, oh, Australian. I remember somebody with a kind of Australian accent, but obviously you were from New Zealand, so it's that part of the world, so I immediately thought of you. So I reached out to you and said, do you want to play the Catherine character? And since then, it's been great having you on board. And as you'll see when we watch this episode, your character has a kind of an arc of being on the bad side, and then you eventually become a ranger. I kind of mixed it up and sort of made it our own version in between. So what's been your experience playing Catherine so far?
I've loved it. I'm a huge fan of audio drama anyway, and to be part of something that's so sort of iconic has been super fun, and you've got a really great cast and crew behind the scenes. So just in our little Facebook chats, and you know, everyone's wishing everyone happy birthday, and you know, just it feels like a real good community. And the character is fun. Like every episode when I get the script, I'm like, oh, is that what she's up to now? And be like, oh, didn't see that coming.
yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with that. And yeah, it's really nice, the community. I think it was Nick's idea originally to make like a Facebook group, and then it eventually became this Discord. And it's just kind of nice to have a sort of a community where we sort of enjoy the process of making the show. So we have that community of if we were doing it as sort of, if we were all in a room recording, but we kind of get it via the text chat sort of things. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, before we go on to the show itself, I'll obviously explain a couple of things because, you know, some things have happened before this in the show. Now, the original show, as I've spoken about before, it's a 90s kids show. It's not very well written. It's extremely cheesy, and it's intended for its target audience. And, you know, the intention of our show was to take that and to take the nostalgic elements, take the things that people remember, but make it as cool as we remember it being back in the day. So I take the bare minimum of what the story was and expand on it and make it my own version, but still playing into the story elements. As you'll see in this, in the original, Catherine was an agent for Rita, and she was an undercover thing with the Rangers, and I took that element and made it into what we're doing in our show. But however, in this version, it's a little different because it's this show. She's an actual cat. called Cat. She showed, yep. Now we find out later on she's actually from Australia and she came over to America and stuff like that, but for some reason, as part of her spell of being evil, she got turned into an actual cat, and then Aisha adopted her and called her PC for Park Cat, because that's where she found her, not knowing that their new friend Catherine, who is also called Cat, is their actual cat, who is spying on them for Rita. So you can see why I changed some of that.
Meow.
this show. Now, the reason I've chosen this particular episode is because not only does this show some of the stuff that we've been doing lately with Catherine being undercover, working for Rita, all that kind of stuff, working for the bad guys, it kind of shows that, but also this is the episode series that introduces the Shogun Zords, which is the Zords we're using in the show as your guys' ones. Now, we won't see them in this episode, but this is the episode to set it up. Now, obviously, ideally, I could have chosen an episode that's more self-contained, but season three is all three-parters and story arcs, things like that. So it's hard to kind of do that. But yeah, just catch you up. Aisha has adopted you, but you're working for Rita, and you've made friends with them and are secretly spying on them for some unspecified goal. But that's where the mole idea from the show came from.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Alrighty, so we're going to bring up the episode here on Netflix. We're not going to skip any of the intros. I'm going to go into season 3, episode 19, Changing of the Zords, part 1.
Already.
Okay. Right, everybody else, get your copy ready, and we're going to play in 3, 2, 1, go. It's interesting, we've done season 1 and season 2 with the other guys, and now we're doing season 3. That's Ninjor, who gave him the ninja powers. Which, for some reason, they still have the old costumes when they morph, but they don't say, like, Mastodon, Sabertooth Tiger, Triceratops anymore. They just say, like, Pink Ranger power, Black Ranger power, and unfortunately for Tommy, White Ranger power.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they, their coins were repowered by the ninja powers, which are the powers we're using as your guys' Shadow Ranger powers in the series.
Oh, so 80s.
Yeah. Obviously, the show they're adapting it from is a couple of years earlier in the 90s. And that is just the toys together. This reminds me of a scene we did in season two, episode one. With these guys all hanging out. Of course, Trini was there as well, but... Oh, there's Tommy. Oh, interesting subplot going on. With Catherine being jealous of Kimberly.
Oh,
glowing eyes, just to let you know that she's evil. Amazing. Never mentioned before, never mentioned again. That's the show in a nutshell. Yeah, these two are married at this point, which I don't think I'll be doing in our version of the show. Oh, Kimberly, you're wearing other colours. What are you doing? You haven't just got pink on. Though pink's the dominant colour, but... Yep, she wasn't going to come, but now Tommy's coming, so, yep.
Yep, she's
That's
in
her entire motivation in this version. Jealousy.
The eyes again.
You might recognise some of these voices, because some of our actors have done these characters, but different versions of them. Never explain where they are exactly. They're just in some jungle. Yeah. This is one of those shows that you go back and watch and you're like, wow, this is not as cool as I remember it as a kid, which was part of my inspiration for why I did what I did with our show. Yeah, these Bulk and Skull at this point have become police officers, but they're still in high school, but they're junior police officers. I don't know.
Sounds about right.
There's a reason these two aren't in our show much, because it kind of really undercuts the tension as you cut back to these guys for whatever they're doing. Usually this kind of hijinks.
Watch out, you two. There you go.
I love how they're in like 40s bathing suits as well. Like 19th century bathing.
And it's the slow-mo run.
Like how they got the Balkan School theme mixed with like the
Chariots of Fire.
Almost the Chariots of Fire. Yeah. Right. And that the point of that scene was, it's a three-parter, we've got to put it out. Anyway, back to the story. Wow, maybe I subconsciously adapted this. These two meet in a park, I didn't realise. Although in our version, she wasn't dressed quite so over the top. She's in a undercover guise. Yes, this entire story arc is just cat puns. Of course it is. And nobody saw Rita there at all.
No.
She's just like 10 meters away.
In the flash of fire in a California state park.
Right, so she's been given a mission to get a power coin because they need it to charge their new dormant Zords that they found, which end up being the Shogun Zords. But why not just...
These guys are spying from space. Yeah.
Well, I just wait till they're alone. Why are you waiting? Oh, we're going to get rid of all those people at the lake. And again, they keep having to explain the plot over and over because this show is for 5-year-olds. And these are the season 3 replacements for the putties. Tengas. Which are like bird monsters of some sort. Which are as ineffective as the putties ever were. Except these ones talk in really terrible bird voices.
Yeah, I can hear the cackling. Cat's not worried.
No, she's walking off slowly. Not suspicious at all. Oh my god. Oh my god, those voices.
Slightly reminiscent of like the Dark Crystal voices.
Yeah. What? The Rangers were in their ninja forms, but like underwater?
Yes.
Yeah, in this season they have like an in-between step where it's like they have these kind of ninja suits, which again, since Tommy is yelling White Ranger power, is really unfortunate with the way that those suits look with the face masks. Oh boy. Problematic, but they've got the animal powers that you guys have been using as the Shadow Rangers, the bear, the wolf, the crane, all that stuff. Do a flip.
Oh, there she goes.
There's a lot of wire work going on. Yeah, in season 3, they never actually, like, with the putties, they'd actually, like, beat them because they were, like, clay golem sort of things. So I guess they felt like that was okay for violence, but they're not allowed to actually beat these things. They just kind of punch them until they go away. And I love how she knows exactly where the power coins are. And also the Rangers would just leave them in their bags unattended. Very irresponsible. Why exactly they need the pink power coin to power all the Zords, and why that coin isn't in its morpher? Yep. No idea. This is some of that kind of adapted for the show where the coins are like connected to them and it like draws off their life force sort of thing. Although I think in this version, it's only literally just been introduced this episode. It's extremely ADR.
Yep.
So the spell Rita's got on her is like to make her evil, but I guess it also makes her jealous and brings out her worst of her personality, I suppose.
I guess.
Yep, definitely. Oh, man. I'm glad they teleported using the really bad flying away effects that they use there. Wow, JDF is ripped. What? He hasn't got lips. What did he just...
Still got the photograph.
Yeah, hiding it behind her back. Rita can't know that she's got that for some reason. She wouldn't approve of the... They literally were just here. Oh no.
Oh, my power coin's gone. There you go.
Oh no, dramatic zooming. Yeah, why would you leave it unattended and not in its morpher? I don't. Okay. Because it needed to be for the plot. Oh, definitely. That's definitely what happened. It's the only explanation. Okay. It's definitely not some kids just came and nicked it. The only explanation is that evil took it.
You left backpacks out in the open. LA Park. Or San Fran. Somewhere.
Yeah, there's Ninja. With his Dudley Do Right voice. Sounds like Marvin the Martian. Yeah, a lot of the fight footage in season 3 is American film because obviously at this point they're using suits from two completely different shows, it's a different show to the one that the Zords is from. It's a really weird mishmash at this point of Japanese and American footage. Like Rita and the original suits is from Zoo Ranger. Tommy's from Die Ranger. The Zords are from Kaku Ranger. It's yeah.
Do you think that was to save a bit of money or just because of the rights held.
I think it's because they wanted to keep these suits, which is really weird because, like, same as in the movie, for some reason they get the new powers, which are like the powers we're using for the shadow powers, the falcon, the bear, the wolf, the ape, and all that. But for some reason, they've still got like their white tiger and tyrannosaurus and pterodactyl helmets. Although we do get this kind of stuff, which we never got in the first two seasons, of American footage interacting with the big stuff, the large people. These are the ninja zords, which we haven't actually got to yet. Shogun zords are sort of the second version to these. Did you have Sehyar just in a, you know, just in a cockpit? Yeah, Ninjor's the one who gave him the ninja powers because his name's a Ninjor, see? He's also the person who made the power coins. I'll do a version of him in our version, but definitely not that version. Where did she suddenly get those laser powers?
But they look like cat scratches, so.
Yeah. She's obviously got cat powers. Because her name's Cat and she's a cat.
Yep.
Oh. That sword made him small again, I think, for some reason. Although she, like, turns into a cat when she teleports as well, with the ears and everything. And for some reason, the Falcon's Order is an actual bird now? I have no idea.
There you go.
Because we didn't have the footage of it being put in a hangar, I guess, so we had to turn it into an actual bird. And why is he disappearing?
Power's fading.
Yeah, but why?
No, I don't think it was explained yet.
Ooh, fourth perspective shot. Wait, that's a leap. What? He took one Zord and Ninja, so he's defeated the Power Rangers. Oh, monologue. Yeah. Who's he talking to?
Hurry up and return to the command center.
That voice. So he disappeared and somehow ended up in a jar. Somehow. I love how his curtain has a big Z on it. Z is on top of his branding.
One of those home dehydration systems or something.
Oh, good.
This is part one of three, guys. It's going to get a lot worse.
But why are they out of commission? Why were taking the Falcon Sword and shut the others off? Never got that one.
Because they've all still got their power coins, but she doesn't, so.
Yeah, they can all still get the other swords, but because the Falcon Sword's down, they can't make the others? What?
Yeah.
And that's...
She's up a tree.
Yeah, because you're a cat, remember?
Yeah. which coin does she have now? She got her coin, but without the power, or...
Yeah, she's not a ranger at this point. I think she's still got Kimberly's, but...
Yeah.
The crane coin. But I'm pretty sure she gave that to Lord Zedd, so no idea. To be continued.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah, so that was that. I enjoy, don't get me wrong, season three is better than one and two in terms of storytelling. It's got arcs and things, and I enjoyed some elements of it, which is why I adapted a lot of them, like the obviously Cat being an agent of Rita and all that kind of stuff. But the plot points as to why everything's happening and how, it's Power Rangers. I've got nothing else.
Yeah, it's not fully explained, but I guess it does leave a little bit of intrigue. And as you mentioned, it's a program for 5-year-olds, so
yeah,
I won't remember by next Saturday morning.
Yeah, like my idea was that, you know, to take these story elements, but flesh them out and to make them make sense. So now you can see where some of that came from with her being, you know, sort of Rita's mole and all that kind of stuff. But as I say, I didn't turn you into an actual cat. So yeah, any thoughts on that and how it relates to your version?
Oh yeah, I mean, we started with Kat and the other girls in the mall, and you can kind of see their relationship as friends developing. And then if you're listening along with the audio episodes, I think we've released for now, haven't we? So she's off. I don't want to give away spoilers, but she's definitely in the hands of Rita, and family's in danger, and yeah, she's very torn.
Yeah, they never actually mentioned Kat's family, and as they never really mentioned the Rangers family in the show, because if they did, it'd bring up a whole slew of problems as to where, you know, are the parents knowing where their kids are for all the time doing this, which is, I've kind of made elements in the show. But yeah, they never bring up, you know, her moving to America or any of that kind of stuff. It just kind of, oh yeah, I'm here, and you know, I'm a cat for some reason, and now I'm a good person. That means I live in Angel Grove and don't ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a fun character though. And I think, yeah, the back and forth of how torn she is at the moment is quite fun to play. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. An interesting element with the whole, she's trying to get in on the, she's trying to get with Tommy and trying to undermine. That's like an interesting element that we've not done, because Tommy's never has 5 minutes where he's, you know, himself at this point. But I think it's an interesting element in terms of bringing a human something to it, as if kind of like what they did with Tommy, where, or at least what we did with Tommy, where he filters it down and it's kind of the worst parts of his personality enhanced. Maybe that's what they were going for. So she's like sort of unrepressed, just acting on emotion and jealousy and all that's coming to the surface is maybe what they're going for.
Teenage hormones making her do crazy things.
That is true. Nick in the chat saying that they saw the Rangers teams in season one. We did, absolutely. And that was for the original team. And yes, they were color-coded to their kids, which, yep. Like, Jason's parents were wearing red and Kimberly's parents were wearing pink. Yeah, that was... oh boy, it's a show, but like you say, something that you grew up with as a kid and you thought was amazing as a kid. And the thing of this show has been, you know, I really love the elements, I love the costumes, the Zords, the world stuff, but, you know, let's make it as cool as I thought it was. And I think that's, you know, my main intention of the show is to, you know, have the nostalgia and you still get to say, oh, they said the thing, but then you're leading into something much more satisfying for a, you know, an adult trying to enjoy it as in the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So that will wrap it up for this one. Natalie, any final thoughts before we sign off?
I think I'm actually going to go and watch parts 2 and 3 now. I kind of want to reminisce and see how all this ends up.
I'm pretty sure it keeps getting worse, but then all of a sudden the Rangers do something, they tech the tech or call on the power, and then it gets better and then they win. Although right. I do remember that the whole thing of Kimberly losing a power cord does carry on, because that goes into the next part, 3-parter, where Kimberly leaves and Catherine takes her place because Amy Jo Johnson was leaving the show.
Yeah.
But the fact that she let them know ahead of time that she was leaving, let them have this really nice kind of 10-episode arc of her leaving and Kat coming in her place and going, and you get to see a proper goodbye to Kimberly as a character. Whereas the previous season, where Saban just fired the 3 actors of Jason, Zach, and Trini, and then kept dubbing in footage of them pretending that they were still there, that was very different. And they had no time to really say goodbye to them as characters because the actors weren't there. So at least that they got that with Kimberly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we're going ahead and wrap it up here for this one. Thank you, everybody, for joining us for this. Thank you, Natalie, for joining me. It's going to be great seeing the Catherine character evolve and where it goes from there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, next couple episodes coming soon. And does get up to some stuff.
I'm currently editing on the sixth episode. I'll get that to you very soon. All right. Thank you very much, guys. Awesome. We'll see you next time.